All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Shill Farm podcast. I say Shill Farm now just as like a normal thing, Chris.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny.
I find it quite funny, mate. Yeah.
You're better off just accepting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hosted on our very own bullshit platform, we are the controlled opposition. You know, that actual title doesn't really mean out, does it? Because who are you controlled by? We're all, I suppose, controlled, or... And we are the opposition. But anyway, as opposed to who would be uncontrolled?
Do you know what I thought about today? You know when people say, when they say do a podcast, people are interested when you say do a podcast.
Yeah, they are, very.
Yeah, until you tell them what it's about. Yeah. Do you know what I thought might start saying, right? I'm on a mission from God.
Yeah.
You know, just...
Like Blues Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like
Blues Brothers. We can be Brown Brothers.
Brown Brothers. Just say, I'm on a mission from God, but I don't know who God is.
Nostril Brothers. Yeah.
That could be your answer. Oh, which church? I don't know God. I don't know which God it is, but I'm on a mission from a God to expose the satanic lies and expose. Yeah. We've exposed it with truth. Mm. So we are on a mission from God. We just don't know who he is.
No. or whose God
who's
he is.
About it? Who's thinking the last couple of days? No, but everyone's on a mission, on a some form of mission from God, because that's where, you know, I don't know who that is, the creator or whatever it is.
I'm on a mission from the creator, in the creator.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is episode 257. The format is simple. We release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get the full podcast plus download at sheepfarm.co.uk. Non-members get part 1 plus download as well at sheepfarm.co.uk. All new shows are released on Saturdays. So even if you're not signed up to the website, you just come to the website, it'll be there. No issue. Always on our private bullshit platform. That's sheepfarm.co.uk. I will repeat it because people ask me, email in and ask where it is. Although we also upload part 1 to Podomatic that distributes out to Shopify, Amazon, Audible, and Apple as well. I will put this week's video, or I'll try and upload this week's video because of the tech issues we've had, and see how we get on. Please do subscribe to the website, though, for all email notifications for new shows, and join Chris on Instagram or email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk.
Oh, join fully for £2 a month.
Yeah. I have actually been thinking of
don't map over, some people don't know, you know.
Right. I have actually been thinking that to watch the videos, to make it a private members website, if you like, you have to subscribe. As in, not pay, but, you know, have an email subscription.
I thought you had to be a full member to watch the videos.
No. Well, sorry, not the videos. The podcast. Listen to the podcast, should I say. All right. Sorry.
It's a good job, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But to go on the website, you have to subscribe. Not because I want to lock everybody in and it's like digital currency or digital IDs. More the fact that it's a private members, because as things tighten up, we probably will have to be like a private members club.
Yeah.
As sad as it is.
You don't know what's going to happen.
It's freely. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned it in one of the podcasts. It might have been yesterday, because it had been 2 weeks' time. But somebody in Switzerland mentioned that girls and boys, on a tweet this is, that girls and boys' skeletons are different, so they can't be the same. He got arrested. He got fined, and he said, I'm not going to pay the fine, so they actually jailed him for something ridiculous like 40 months.
Same with that guy in Ireland.
Right.
Was it a teacher? He's just gone, didn't need to get 20 months for...
Yeah, because he wouldn't back down, would he?
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I'm sure there's a lot of people in prison agree with him.
That makes him an actual political prisoner.
Yeah, in his own country.
Yeah. I mean, if that's not... Isn't it funny how we still say, oh, we're in China and in Russia. Right, okay.
Yeah. You know, it's like people who question other countries' human rights.
Mm.
And yet Tony Blair killed 1 million people.
I know. But Saudi Arabia chopped women's heads off. I mean, I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it's horrific.
I'm sure it is. There's horrible things in every country.
Yeah.
Just different things in every country.
Yeah. We get mind tortured here.
Mm.
Constantly.
Yeah.
We get set amongst each other as well. Somebody was telling me a story today. they were dropping the young one off at school. And a woman came up to him and said, "Oh, are you parking in a normal place today?" She said, what are you on about? You know, other day you were just lazy, ranting and raving and swearing. She got two young kids with her as this other woman. And she's this, the girl that we know has got one kid.
I wish you felt the hair stand up.
I know. And then she twigged what had happened. Her friend's got a similar colour car. They look similar, but they're different heights and different cars. Yeah. And her friend's some sort of blogger. Right, on Instagram or something. She's got quite a lot of followers. Anyway, she's got her mixed up. And she's trying to say to her, "I don't think it's me you're talking about." I think the week before, this girl, a mate, had parked on a single line, yellow line, and they had an argument. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, is that what world's come to?
Well,
your kid off at school without...
I'd have done one of two things. I'd have sat there in silence. Three. Or laughed or swore at her. One of them three things.
Yeah, but then that just lights fire on her, doesn't it?
It depends what day you're having yourself, yeah, doesn't it? If someone comes up shouting at you, you're not just going to, "Oh, I'm really sorry." You know what I mean? You're either going to laugh or...
She's telling her to act responsibly and not park somewhere, even though it wasn't her who'd park there in the first place. But her kids are there and she's effing and blinding, right? These are young kids as well, like 5 year, 4 year old, right? So they're not even, they're like preschool age. On a morning, like 8:30 in the morning or whatever it is.
Don't need it, yeah.
You don't need it before you go to work, do you?
You don't
need it any time, but, you know, it just gets your day off to a bad start, doesn't it?
I know, some screaming banshee.
Yeah. And teacher came out, and she actually was trying to calm her down and saying, it isn't her. Anyway. But, yeah, anyway, but what we're getting at there is that's the type of torture we have to deal with, where that lady there is that stressed, that mind goosed, right? That she's got to rant and rave at somebody about somebody parking on a single yellow line. And this is what gets me. It's like, if say you're driving in middle lane at M62 and you see these people, you say it's 70 mile an hour at middle lane, you do 50 mile an hour at middle lane, but 70 mile an hour at middle lane. Somebody overtakes you at 90, trying to prove a point, and then pulls right in front of you.
Hang on a minute. You're a middle lane hogger then, aren't you?
No. Let's just say you do.
You cruised out middle lane?
No, not always, no.
No,
I don't. I don't. Yeah, sometimes you do, don't you? Sometimes everybody does.
If there's no slow lane, I don't. You don't like overtaking on the inside, do you? That's the thing. That means you've got to go right round them.
Or people will undercut you and do it. Yeah, but I don't middle lot. What I'm trying to get at is that people will do things, right, that are illegal to prove to you that you're being illegal.
That they're angry, yeah.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Or they'll undertake you, right, to prove that you shouldn't be in middle lane, even if there's a car 20 foot away from you.
I experienced something this week, right, and I'm going to label it conspiracy karma because, you know, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week or I just mentioned it to you, but my daughter's mate's parents were both sick and I said, "I bet they got the flu jab." One of her mates were off school and I know she had the flu spray. And I reckoned it was that gave her that. Anyway, long story short, then I got sick and so did my daughter. And neither of us have had anything. I think that's a bit of conspiracy karma because, do you know what I mean? And then I'm like, yeah, it's because they all got it, that I got it. And I thought, hang on a minute, calm down. Everyone gets a bit sick sometimes, though. Do you know what I mean?
We're going to talk about that in part two, aren't we?
But I'm holding my hands up. That is a bit of conspiracy karma fired straight back.
It works both ways, doesn't it?
For accusing everybody else.
It does work both ways, Chris.
To be fair, I get ill for some reason, and Mrs. will vouch for this. Every December, November, December, I get a bit ill. Not badly. I had one bad day basically, but. Where I was, you know, in bed all day with a fever. But it's weird because I always thought it was when I was a full-time head chef because it was stressed, you know, because it's busy for Christmas and stuff like that. There I go, I mentioned being a chef again. I thought it was because of that. But then I'm not a head chef anymore and I don't work busy Christmases. And I still get it every year, just like November, December. I think it's a... I believe that's what flu season is. I think it's just you just get rid of your
there are so many different
toxins. Yeah, who knows?
We're talking to Chris Thrall. Let's move on. All right, I'd like to thank everybody for ordering products off Health Bunker supplements. Remember, there's a 35% off We're carrying that Black Friday on. So if you add the email, that's why it's good to subscribe, because you get the email for that if you want to take part. If not, that's fine as well. Chris's Gaping Gobs on Etsy, both.
And I think I've got a few calendars left. Got a couple of calendars left.
2024. For 1963. Yeah.
I've run out of badges, but I've ordered some more.
Right.
Because they went quite well as well. It's nice as well. I mean, there's not much brass to be made from badges, but it's good that they're getting out.
You have to go badger culling.
People are wearing them. Yeah, it's good that people are wearing them. Right. Or getting them. Do you know what I mean?
People come up to them and go, nice badges.
It'd be interesting if anyone ever gets pulled. Well, even with the merch stuff, with the t-shirts, it'd be interesting if anyone's ever been approached because they're wearing a badge or a t-shirt.
Right.
If they have, let us know. That'd be interesting. But I'm busy as hell at the minute. I've literally, from this morning to just now, just walked in here and sat down. I'm still packing up sculptures. I'll be doing it till bloody midnight tonight. Super busy for me just for Christmas time. Not complaining, like, just saying.
Well, anyway, this week we were joined by Mark Devlin. We recorded this on the Sunday. This is now the 5th of December. We recorded it way back on the 1st of December, I think it was. Was Sunday 1st of December? No, 30th of November, whatever it was, anyway.
Yeah.
It was Sunday night. We've actually recorded three podcasts this week, haven't we? I've done about bloody 7 or 8 hours bloody recording.
I know. Busiest week I've had this year, and we decided to do three in a week.
Yeah, anyway, they're done now. So Mark came on, we had a good chat. We actually did an hour for us on here, and then we did an hour for him on his podcast.
Mm.
So I don't know if he's releasing that to his patrons behind his giant paywall.
Yeah.
Yeah, how dare he?
Yeah, Big Shill paywall.
Yeah, how dare he have a paywall?
Promoting his Big Shill book.
Yeah. No one's dad's a shill.
Evil bastard.
No one's dad's controlled opposition.
How dare you spend a year of your life writing a book and then expect people to give you money for it? It's disgusting.
I think it's disgusting. You should whip yourself with nettles.
Yeah, at least. And what did he say? Living like a sort of cardboard box.
Yeah. With Jack Russell piss on him. Yeah. I don't know why Jack Russell, why that would be worse on a nettle, but anyway, there you go. All right then. We're off. I hope you enjoy that podcast we do with Mark. If you're going to join us in part two, we'll see you there.
But
all right, finally, we've got this one together. It's been about 2 or 3 months, I think, in the making. We've got time on a Sunday night, a grim Sunday night up north as well. Freezing cold.
Any other kind?
No, I don't think there is. But me and Chris are joined by Mark Devlin. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hi, guys. There was actually a rave record called It's Grim Up North. I'm trying to remember who did it. Was it the KLF?
Yeah, they got the words right anyway.
Rings a bell.
There was a tune called It's Grim Up North, and they name-checked a load of towns, like, you know, Scunthorpe, Grimsby, Huddersfield.
Yeah.
It's just a long list of grim northern towns.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think even northerners say it's grim up north.
Mm.
I would say Huddersfield, where we're from, Fire, is beautiful when it's sunny. When it's bad weather, it's fucking grim.
Mm. Which is most of the year.
Yeah.
Actually, the hosepipe ban's just been lifted.
All right.
Yeah, it's absolutely pissed down for about 5 months, but they must have forgotten that bit.
Yeah, it's been such a problem, that lack of water, hasn't it, with all those the rainstorms.
I told a story the other week, Mark. One of the guys who lived near me, he's just had his gate done, and he wanted to use his hosepipe, this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just to wash away, you know, the bits of debris, cement and stuff like that. And he got his hosepipe out, and the neighbours came across and said, "Oh, you can't do that. There's a hosepipe ban." And he's saying, "We're fucking surrounded by water. What are you on about?" I think I'd have lost my shit there, to be honest with you.
Are they the same ones that used to grass up their neighbours for having friends round during COVID?
Probably, yes. Yeah.
The curtains.
Yeah.
I had a story
today. My young were playing football. Well, there were two stories, actually. This one of the coaches, or his sort of used to be a coach at the thing, but now his lad plays anyway. He said he's on some sort of WhatsApp thing with the other coaches, and one of the coaches said 400 kids are off at one school with this so-called lurgy that's going around, the new lurgy.
Huddersfield variant.
Yeah, the Huddersfield scariant. But there's loads of kids off. I read on our podcast this week a newsletter from the school, an email that was sent around, saying loads of kids were off with this
with obviously COVID, flu, and all these other things. I think they're trying to terrify everybody into get, because everyone's got jab, reluctant to have jabs now, or a lot of people are. Even people are coming up to me and asking me now. I think they're trying to scare people back into having them.
I mean, it's not like it's winter and there's colds around and flu and pneumonia and things like that. That can't be it at all.
Yeah, but all them disappeared in 2020. They just disappeared. They're just the only one scary thing that were going on.
It could be the flu mist that they've been giving out at schools for.
Yeah.
Could be that. Yeah. But then my nipper off school 2 days last week. Mm. But then I've been ill for a day. It just happens this time of year.
I miss 2020. I'm so nostalgic for those times.
Well, I've been watching.
No one ever.
I watched your rant the other day where you probably, it was 2021. And I think you just watched one of the Meet the Flockers episodes. And you were on one. You were proper on one. And you called Johnson an Etonian twat. Something like a fat Etonian twat or something like that.
Called him a punt on one.
Yeah.
Actually, Fatty, I remember that were just after we'd spoke to Mark, I think, for the first ever time. And then, because I remember saying to Dom, I think your information about Johnson's upset Mark when he called.
No, that was before that. He said, you said on that show, Mark, if anybody knows who these guys are, two guys from Yorkshire. One of them's got big nostrils. No, I didn't say that. I said, try and put them in touch with me.
That's when I first found you.
Interesting. I just picked that one and listened to it. But I've got to say, not only was it a, I don't know, it were a very good call to arms. Rant, I don't know, dialogue, whatever you want to call it. And it were free flowing as well. It wasn't like you're reading notes. It was spoken from
that's
pure
when you know
hatred.
It's a genuine rant.
Yeah.
And I normally call Johnson an overpaid, overfed, overprivileged, bloated, old Etonian twat.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good description, Matt.
straight to the point.
Accurate.
Yeah, I'd had a he's got a get out of jail free card from Greg's in there as well.
According to James Dellingpole, who was at Oxford University with Johnson, his nickname there used to be Shagger. Ooh. Because he used to be a hit with the ladies.
You can see,
so it just goes to show that it's not just beer that can make you blind when it comes to attractiveness.
Wine goggles.
The opposite sex. Wealth and privilege does it as well.
It's Rohypnol.
I don't think he helps. I mean, I'm not batting his corner or anything, but I don't think he were as he wasn't that unhandsome when he were at school, though. You know what I mean? He weren't like he is now. I think he were
a half
dashing looking fellow when he was younger. I think
I'm just jealous. Yeah. I never got called Shagger.
We just looked shagged.
Yeah. Should have gone to the same school as Tim Westwood.
Yeah, that would have been worse. He might have nailed you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird, isn't it, with Johnson, how he's seen as this Lothario. It's not really something you put to him, is it?
No, I can think of lots of other names. Just mentioned one.
Yeah. It's I've had to do 15 chapters in my book of the Johnson crew.
Bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck, yeah.
Plenty of showers needed.
Yeah. I'm just doing Tony Blair. Well, not physically doing Tony Blair, but 4 chapters on Tony Blair. But anyway, that's another story.
Have you noticed?
I got a new mic.
Yeah.
No, it's the same mic, but I've got a stand for it.
Oh, nice.
Circulation's come back in his knuckles.
I'm not gripping it now because my knuckles were popping out of my hand. They popped out one by one and all the paint came off the mic. But also I've knackered my finger, broken my bloody finger, so I couldn't grip it anyway.
How did you do that?
Drying myself after a shower. Rigorous.
Just caught it.
Toweling down. Yeah. And my finger snapped. So I've got to wear this bloody plinth thing.
One of them weird injuries, isn't it?
How
many times have you dried yourself coming out of the shower then?
Exactly.
It's like, I work in kitchens and with a knife, you never cut yourself.
Chris, I never heard you talk about it.
You never cut yourself chopping anything. It's always doing something stupid, like, you know, talking to someone, waving around, you just snick yourself off.
Yeah.
It's always something ridiculous. It's never the actual motion of chopping anything.
Dangerous business, taking a shower.
So, a few weeks
not
ago...
something Bob Geldof has to worry about.
Unless they have showers under a bush somewhere.
Well, what kind of shower?
Golden one. A few weeks ago, you did a podcast where your old YouTube channel came back on.
Yeah.
And a few others have popped back up. James Corbett, David Icke, UK Column, a few, loads more.
On my YouTube feed, Mac, it looks like you're just working 7 days a week.
I know, so people think I am.
They're appearing that fast.
I'm uploading old videos from 2022 onwards, and I'm doing one a day. And I'm getting comments like, oh my God, how does this guy find the time? Mark just never stops. And people don't realize that these videos are like 3.5 years old. But I thought, well, I've got 61,000 subs on that channel and they've never seen this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting comments like, oh, Mark, thank God you're back. Oh, we've missed you these last 3.5 years. I'm like, I've hardly been away, have I?
No. What you been doing? Come on, pull your finger out, Mark. You need to do some work, man.
You might want to pay a bit more attention. I have actually been out there.
Yeah, no, fuck a lazy. If you're not on YouTube, that's it, isn't it?
Well, that's what it is, yeah. Because I lost that YouTube channel and I went over to BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, started up channels over there. But people don't think to follow you over there. Mm. They just stay on YouTube. And if you go, they're just like, oh, well.
I've been a bit guilty of that in the past, Mark, to be fair. Of you know, you realise someone's vanished and you think, where the hell are they? And you go and find them somewhere else, yeah. Mm. I'm a bit guilty of the same thing.
Well, I don't know why all these channels are popping back up again.
It's odd, isn't it?
I mean, a lot of people think there's something nefarious about it or conspiratorial. They're trying to entrap us in some way, maybe entice or coerce us into saying something that gives them an excuse to shut us down. Or
I'd go down the digital ID stuff, I think.
Data gathering.
Yeah. The digital ID where you're going to have to log in and you're going to have to actually give you like your passport details or your driver's license details. I think they're doing that in Australia currently at the minute. So that draws people in back into YouTube, doesn't it? Because, again, all them people that thought you just disappeared, you know, oh, I'm just going to retire now. They don't realize, they don't search for Mark Devlin or David Icke on YouTube. Yeah, also, if you think about it, that YouTube, who are owned by Google, if they've just lit up, from a financial aspect, if they, I don't know how many accounts have just lit up because they'll never tell you, but that's going to have a financial bearing on their share price as well. Because they could just say, we've just added another, I don't know, 2 million new accounts. And in reality, all they've done is relight all the old ones that they turned off.
Well, that's the less conspiratorial take on it, simply that Google, YouTube want to make money out of content creators like us.
Yeah.
And they realize we've got a whole load of things to say. And if they can monetize the channels, they stand to make a huge profit from it.
Yeah,
so that's the best case scenario, I guess, as opposed to entrapment.
Or it could be that the things that we all talked about from 2020 have actually been proved true now. So their algorithm has got to just go, well, it's true now. It's not medical misinformation anymore. So now we've got to let them go again. Maybe
just still waiting for that apology.
I think we'll be a while yet before we get that apology.
Probably will. Yeah.
Yeah. If ever. I reckon if you think about, say, things that have happened in the past, like flamidomide or something like that, your old friend, Judge Jules' dad.
Judge Jules' granddad, yeah.
I don't think them people have ever been paid out. And you're talking 60, 70 years now. So it might be another 60, 70 years before anybody ever hears anything. And by then, everyone will be that lobotomized and there'll be so few probably humans on Earth that it won't matter anywhere.
Yeah, who knows where we'll be. I mean, if humanity were to continue on its natural trajectory in 60 or 70 years, maybe people would be looking back on these times and they'd say, wow, all those folk that were living in the 2020s, all those that were warning about what was being done, they were right, you know. All the information has proven that what they were saying was correct. But as you say, will there even be humanity as we know it by that point?
Well, Glenn, yeah, well, the normies, let's just say, like neighbours, they are talking. I was talking to someone just yesterday who isn't obviously awake, but he does realise that something strange is happening with society. You know, he was quizzing me about our shows, Chris, what we do, and I was telling him about genealogy of all these people. And as soon as you, like you with the music, Mark, as soon as you get into genealogy and say, well, he's related to them, and Taylor Swift's a cousin of Jeffrey Dahmer, a mass murderer, serial killer, they start thinking, well, that doesn't sound right.
I think even if you had a normal fight, I don't think you can dispute that something weird's going on now. I mean, even You know, my missus's boss at work keeps asking what we do. What do they do with that podcast? Who do they talk to? You know, it's just
bye, friends.
Even if you're not like us, like you've got to look at the corruption and just think this isn't right anymore.
Mm. It's unbelievable that there's still people discovering this for the first time at this stage in the game, yeah. Going, hang on a minute, something's not quite right here. Yeah,
because even if you look from another point of view, the corruption and the level of, going back to the 80s, 90s, even up to 2000, the level of corruption now is just, it's blatant. It's just blatant, isn't it? Absolutely, yeah. Blatant. You can't.
And it's even reported on by the mainstream. They, yeah, talk about how politicians are corrupt and they've got all these dodgy business dealings and, you know, Starmer's got his affiliation with Lord Ali and there's all this money changing hands and stuff. So it's not even like being left to the likes of us to report this stuff. It's in the mainstream.
Are you, yeah, saying
still
that
people just accept it? It's just like this acceptance that politics is dirty and it's always been corrupt. So it's just what you expect, folks. It's just,
are you saying getting bought crotchless wife fronts from Lord Back Alley is a problem for a prime minister?
I don't know. Ask Tony Blair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I've often talked about an earmark, and it goes back to that YouTube thing. Sorry, I've had a bit of a feel a bit shitty today. If we have a win, we won't know, will we? We don't know. You know, if that YouTube thing was actually a win, we never know, because it's not going to be in any news. We've just got to kind of discover it. In fact, we never get told to win ever. You know, we never. Do you know what I mean? And I was looking at that. What is it the other day? Do you remember that Deagle report where it said a massive amount of the population's going to vote? Do you know it's 2025? It's the end of this year.
That's something to look forward to, Chris.
Well, my point was, on a positive, if we get to the end of this year and that hadn't happened, that means part of the plan hasn't worked, has it?
Only a month to go.
Yeah.
Watch out for tsunamis, earthquakes, typhoons.
I mean, I don't remember when I first read that, but at the time of reading it, I remember thinking, oh, that's years away, but what the hell have they got planned? Da, 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 and then here we are. You know, was it 10 years ago it came out? 8 years ago, I'm guessing, maybe?
Do you know, with people waking, sort of like asking me questions like that guy I was speaking to yesterday, and there were actually three or four of them listening, side of a football field.
Were they in a corner?
No, they weren't. they were actually quizzing me, because it was strange. It's strange when they quiz you. However, today at a football game, right, one of the parents said, yeah, there's a couple of the trainers having an argument. And he said, yeah, they don't want to be arguing in front of kids and stuff like this, blah, blah, blah. He said, what their face should do, you think you're getting somewhere and then you hear this, what their face should do is employ people, like, say, myself, who's a football coach, you were a football coach, to go around games, monitoring games and the behaviour of people, and then writing dossiers on like the supporters or the family, the parents, the coaches and the players who were being, you know, saying stuff they shouldn't say and violent or whatever. And I'm thinking, as soon as you mention dossier, that sounds very Stasi-esque, East Germany. He compile these dossiers, then he can kick these teams out. And so you think you're getting somewhere, then you hear something like that.
Is that one of the ones who were quizzing themselves?
Pardon? What did you say, Matt?
Oh, the inmates policing themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is it. He was happy to do that for, he said, well, you know, they'd all have to give me like travel expenses and a cup of coffee and a sandwich. So he's willing to do it, right? He might as well get a Hugo Boss to design him a new outfit. You know,
if I wear a nice leather jacket, I'm doing
leather jacket.
I'm compiling my dossier. Maybe a small revolver. Yeah. That is how it starts, isn't it?
Yeah. But people are still. What were the other one as well? Do you know Rachel from accounts when she did the budget? I mean, the nonsense surrounding that. Like we were talking on app, like she's been with a calculator thinking, well, I wonder what we can put milk up by and all this type of nonsense. Anyway, a lot of people are calling her Rachel from accounts and now saying it's sexist. Yeah. So a lot of my wife's mates on Instagram are all saying, yeah, it's sexist and we should support women.
What happens if she's Robert actually from accounts?
Yeah, it might be Robert from accounts, yeah. Bob from accounts,
So this is actually related to that. I was just talking to my missus and she's been at a friend's house and they've got like a pedigree cat. We've got two black cats, as you describe as moggies or whatever. And Lou described them as mongrels.
Mixed breeds, Chris.
I said mongrels.
Right.
And Lou said, someone said to her, you can't say that. And I said, what, in case you upset the cat? Someone said that to her. You can't say that. You can't call them mongrels.
You should have been a part breed in the 80s.
Well, when I first met Lou, I described myself as quarter caste. And she said, oh, you can't say that. You've got to say, what was it? Mixed race. And you can't say that now. It's got to be dual heritage. And now you can't even ask anyone because you might offend them.
It's funny how these terms change over time, isn't it? Because I remember the 70s.
Yeah.
And there were some offensive words that were used to describe people of colour. I mean, one was Paki. And if we just think about that word, it's just a shortened version of Pakistani. So it's saying Brit for a British person.
Yeah.
Or,
it's got so many connotations.
For an Australian person. But it's just a contraction of a bloody. The name
Irish
were
called paddies, weren't they?
But it's the connotation behind it.
Well, I think that word was used with such quite maliciously, though, on it. So I think it's got connotations.
But things drift in and out of acceptability. So in the 70s, you could call a black person coloured or a Negro. Mm. And those terms are completely out of bounds now. You can't use the term Negro.
Can't use
Or black.
It'll probably come back into fashion at some point.
No, it's reached a different level now, fellas. You can't even ask someone where they're from, whether they're white or black or whoever they are. You know, if you ask someone where they're from, you are what are you telling me? They're college. Yeah, you're told not to someone at work. You're not actually allowed to ask someone where they're from because you might offend them. Who's going to be offended if you ask where they're from?
This is social engineering. Behavioral scientists deciding what is acceptable and what isn't. Mm. They invent these terms. You know, they'll be behind the word gay back in the 60s, meaning happy and jolly, and it now meaning homosexual. Mm. And they'll be behind these different terms that are acceptable or otherwise for people of colour. So it's not regular folk that decide these things.
No one cares, do they?
What about the word spastic? You know, that's an actual word, or used to be. I remember a charity called the Spastic Society. Yeah. You can't use that word now without offending people. No. And you know, how do these things come about? It's never the people that decide these things.
No.
We're just swayed by other parties that make these decisions for us.
Some think tank somewhere.
Yeah, think tank. Well, I mean, again, let's say like Bertrand Russell, for instance, who was the Earl of Tavistock. And then we found out that Matt found out that he actually, Tavistock, the area where the hospital was, is from Bertrand Russell's family. The land was. So actual Tavistock is Bertrand Russell. And he was part of what you're talking there, the culture creation, going back, 70, 80 years, coming up with these fancy words.
Exactly what it is, culture creation, and having these things decided for us. So a point I've made previously is, or a question I've asked, is who decides who gets to become a national treasure? Because Jimmy Savile was described as a national treasure. Mm. Rolf Harris, he's not even British, was described as a national treasure. There's a connection here somewhere. Can you tell what it
can't
is?
I think
you?
Where it is. Yeah.
I was going to ask you something, Mark.
The wobble board. Yeah.
your dad's everyone's dad's a plumber thing. One guy I've never heard. I don't think I've ever heard you mention is George Michael.
Oh yes.
In what context? Though? I mean,
About him being offed. On Christmas Day 2016.
Oh, no, I meant family-wise. That's what I meant.
Oh, family-wise. I don't really have anything on him in terms of family connections.
Mm. I'm going to look
looking
appears
to be that rarest of entities coming from a fairly nondescript, regular, run-of-the-mill family.
Yeah. Mm. So I watched a mainstream YouTube video about him and the beginnings of Wham, and there didn't seem to be anything that... It seemed like he was just a talented fella who...
His dad ran a kebab shop, didn't he?
Yeah. My missus's sister knew him, or knew his dad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's why I was going to ask, because I don't see anything around him, other than him getting probably snuffed out early. Maybe that's why, because he wasn't part of the club properly. So
yeah, well, when you get to Andrew Ridgeley, you get some more interesting sort of connections there, because I think he's Egyptian, isn't he, from an Egyptian family?
Don't know, but he had no talent whatsoever, did he?
No talent. But he comes from a fairly wealthy family, sort of semi-aristocratic. So the real driving force behind Wham would appear to have been Ridgely, with George as the visible front man, which is what you find so often with groups. You know, the lead singer is not necessarily the driving force behind the band. Mm. Like Queen was Brian May's band, but everyone just thinks of Freddie.
But it's the same with the Doors. The same with the Doors. Ray Manzarek seemed to be the one who was controlling things, who was part of the military intelligence. He was in military intelligence pre-Doors.
Yeah, well, they all were.
Yeah, exactly.
The bloody drummer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even the mainstream video I was watching, he said, because he were actually joking and said, he showed Andrew Ridgely playing his acoustic guitar. He said, it's funny he's jumping around with that acoustic guitar because it's not in the song.
this is what gets me interested, because his George Michael's mother was a surname pre-marriage was Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an interesting angle for me to follow.
But like I said, Mark said his dad did. Mm. He did own a kebab shop.
Yeah.
Mm. Dad's a kebab shop owner.
Yeah. he did, and
he, not quite he, so I mean, catchy that.
Yeah, not quite as catchy that. Yeah. Or we could show us your kebab. That could be the new book's name.
Well, that could be your book title.
Yeah, you never know.
Incidentally, what is your book title?
I've got a working title of Frenemies at the minute.
Okay.
It's like an entrapment. I was playing around with like License to Kill and stuff like that. But yeah, Frenemies. I think it's got quite a catchy. I wanted one word, to be fair.
Okay. Gonna have a subheading as well.
Yeah. But Frenemies, License to Kill 2020, I reckon. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Straight to the point.
Yeah. But, so it's specifically about the events of 2020, is it?
Well, 2020, 2021. The Meet the Flockers shows that we did, Wancock, Witte, Johnson, Blair was pulled back out, Zahawe, Rishi Sunak, Preeti Patel, all the cabinet that we did in 2020, and the Sage bastards as well, what their backgrounds were, who they were. Found some interesting information out, re-going back through the work as well.
You could have just published your transcripts from all those shows.
That was a general idea, wasn't it?
The size of a wardrobe.
Yeah, I mean, we could actually do that on its own as a different type of release at some point. Just do the transcripts. We'll have to translate them out of Yorkshire, probably.
That's what Crow does, doesn't he? Crow offers the transcripts of all his shows.
Mm.
So. Yeah. Rose sits there and types them all up.
Does she type them all up as well, Rose?
Apparently so, yeah.
Well done, you, Rose.
Yeah, but you would need subtitles with yours.
Yeah. We've been asked by some American listeners, can you talk a bit slower, or have you got subtitles? And when you put subtitles on, the actual subtitles don't understand what you're saying. So that buggers that up as well. I tell you what, there is at the moment, and it's something me and Chris have spoken, I like your angle on it. There's a lots of talk about this person's a shill, this person's controlled opposition at the minute. And I sort of struggle with that. I never hear you calling anybody controlled opposition on your podcast, for instance, or on a podcast. And I don't think it's right, because personally, that's my view, calling people out. But there is a lot of it going on at the moment.
Yeah, I don't do that because, firstly, you can never actually prove it unless you've got specific documentation to show that somebody belongs to a particular Freemasonic lodge, or you've got a pay requisition from MI6 with their name on it and their bank account beneath it. How else are you going to prove it? Yeah. And I know that a lot of bollocks get spoken here in terms of accusations of people being shills, because I get it all the time leveled against me. Yeah. He's an MI6 agent. He's a Satanist. He's a Freemason. I know I'm not. So I know anyone making that claim is full of shit.
Yeah.
So if they're saying that about me, how can I be sure that anything they're saying about anything else is accurate? Yeah. So I don't make those claims about people because I can't prove it. I certainly have my suspicions, and it might be a different matter if you get me over a pint in the local pub. I might share with you my suspicions about and who's an agent and stuff. But if I can't prove it, I'm not going to go public with it because I don't want to tarnish somebody unfairly if I can't prove it.
It's not fair, is it? It's not fair to do it.
Because we've all had it done to us.
Mm. Yeah. We've all had... At the live show that we did at North Mac, when we're having a beer after, about five different incidences, someone came up and said, I don't trust that so-and-so you spoke to. All different people. I said, the last person who said, listen, I've had about five different people have been told to me by different folk tonight. Are they all that? Are they all shills? Are they all paid opposition? Because they can't be. Everyone's got a suspicion of somebody, haven't they?
I mean, if you listen to every claim that was made, you'd have to conclude that there's not one single solitary, individual, genuine, sincere truth speaker in existence.
And often
everybody's been called out at some point.
Often what it boils down to is they don't particularly like that person, or they don't resonate
with them.
So that's why they're...
And people ask me about David Icke all the time. So when I'm out and about in conferences and such, people say, oh, Mark, what do you think about David Icke? Is he to be trusted? Is he a Freemason? Is he on the payroll? And I'm like, I don't know. How do I know? I don't think he is, and I hope he's not, but I don't know. And why are you asking me? Why do you think I would know, or anyone else would know?
Ah, but you're not telling him he is, so that means you're part of it as well.
Yeah, that does happen, actually.
Yeah. You can't fucking win.
You can't win.
No.
And nor am I going to try and attempt to. Or get involved in stupid conversations with people about... It's like if you do find your own little group of people who you... Like we have like John Hamer and Matt Sergio and people like that, who you know... You trust, you know, you can have a conversation with Lance and that at Rise Above. But then because you've got them people who you talk to, everyone says, oh, they're definitely controlled opposition because they're all together.
They're all in it all together. They go on each other's bullshit platforms.
And you dare sell books and charge for them. Or organise a live event and cover your costs and...
So unless you're living in a soggy cardboard box in the gutter somewhere and begging for scraps and you've had the same pair of shoes for the last 5 years, you're not genuine in this game. That's the only way you could be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? It's such a strange phenomenon, isn't it, really?
I think it shows how easy we are to manage, though. There's something in our coding that brings this out in people. They view people with a podcast, for instance, as though they've got some kind of success when we aren't even looking for success. It's not really a good ticket for success doing this type of podcasting, let's face it, because all you get is ridicule from both sides.
Really. I mean, an analogy would be there's a bunch of inmates in a concentration camp and they're being kept in there by guards with dogs and guns up in watchtowers and such. And instead of coming together and uniting in a plan as to how they're all going to get out of there and take these guards out, they're all pointing accusations at each other. You stole my bit of bread at dinner last night. No, that was you. You stole my shirt last week.
Guys are going, that is actually just what keep would it happen. Down.
You stole my gimp. Oops.
We just can't seem to get together on the same page
and
unite against a common enemy. Never have.
No.
In our makeup, our psyche, whatever it is, our mentality, which gets exploited by these behavioural scientists.
Who... And let's face it, all of us, even over the last 4 years, 5 years, it's been 6 years nearly, I've changed massively. I look back at early 2020 and I thought I knew quite a bit how naive I were, you know, like you just left school and you've gone through school now, the COVID school, and learnt so much. The download was so heavy during that period.
Yeah.
You know, you
just became experts on everything. Well, not experts, but, you know, very highly schooled on so many things, you know, medical interventions. I didn't know anything about any of that stuff prior to 2020, but I got myself up to speed on it. And you know, law, so-called law, and legalese and all this, you know, sovereignty, how that all works. Natural law, everything. So many of us just did a fast track on all these different subjects and got so that we could hold our own in a decent discussion with somebody that studied that stuff for the past 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. There must be something in our makeup going back to this. I mean, what number are you on the God series now? I've lost count.
22
now. 22 now. You're only doing a couple of them, weren't you?
Yeah.
I see a book in that, to be honest with you.
It's like Mike Williams was going to retire from the Paul McCartney stuff about 8 years ago. Didn't quite work.
We've just recorded a 2-hour Doors show with Mike.
Oh, just a quick one, then.
Yeah, just a quick one. Well, that's part one. So that's getting released, I think, a couple of weeks or next week, something like that.
Okay. He's not doing any work now, Mackie, but he will have you on his show to talk about it for 2 hours.
Yeah, he's not doing any work, though. Yeah. But, Matt, yeah, yeah. And yeah, we just recorded 3 hours with Matt Sergio as well.
Was that just the warm-up?
Yeah, just the intro on the.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah.
3 hours later.
Yeah, you've built a house and done all the garden and stuff. Where were we anyway? Just gone down another bloody rabbit hole there. Oh yeah, that's it. The God stuff.
God stuff.
That's started a whole new world for you, hasn't it? Which pre 2020 you wouldn't have been doing that. Your attention was all sort of music or.
None of this stuff is ever the plan. So. If we go back 15 years, I was still full-time as a DJ and I was out there doing gigs all over the place. And I never imagined that at some point I'd be up there on stages at conferences, giving lectures and seminars and stuff. Never would have imagined I'd be writing the books that I'm doing now. And yet I got into all of that. And when I started all of that, exposing the true nature of the music industry and what really goes on in the world, I never would have imagined that at this point, I'd be asking all these big questions, you know, what actually is this place? What actually are we? Where did we come from? What force or entity created this place? And to what end? Yeah. How do we get out of it? What happens to us when our consciousness leaves our bodies? So, yeah, just kind of stumbled into it. I did intend just to do one video on it, like you say. And here we are, 2 years and 21 videos on.
Yeah, nearly 3 years now, I bet. It's been going into your third time, isn't it? Third year.
It's always upset me since I was a kid, though, that people just don't want to ask that question.
Well, it's very offensive, Chris.
It's bizarre. People just aren't. I mean, even now, you ask people that kind of thing now, and
it's too deep.
Look at you like you're insane.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me that people don't want to talk about this stuff. Yeah. I go down the local Wetherspoons, and they're all talking about football or who's winning, I'm a Celebrity or whatever, and you never hear conversations of this nature. Now, no, they're not the jolliest, I grant you. You know, they're not exactly...
On average, one death a week or something, Witherspoon, something like that. Where's old Jimmy gone? Ah, he's not here this
week. I didn't
week,
mean yeah. The Wetherspoons experience is not the jolliest. Either, but just this type of conversation. It's not exactly a party starter.
But yeah, but it's everything, isn't it? It's everything.
It does astound me that you don't hear people asking these questions, you know.
Why is it not on national TV, Matt? Why is it? Exactly. Why did they come on news and go?
You hear old folk, you know, you'll hear them in the street. How are you, Doris? Oh, yeah, mustn't grumble. Yeah, me hip's given out and me leg's gone again and me eyeballs popped out. But, you know, such is life.
Mustn't grumble.
Well, why is life like this? Why is your eyeball popping out? Why do we have to?
Must have got to Tony Blair's school.
It's not eyeballs that pop out there.
Yeah, it's somebody's balls. But these big questions seem to upset a hell of a lot of people. When you question it, it's like people can only go if you're into religion, whatever religion it is. It's not my thing. People question us. I remember us talking about something in religion, Chris. Well, you're not religious, so you can't question it. Well, no, because at school, I was forced to go to Sunday school, listen to bloody hymns, sing hymns, go to religious education and all this. I have got some grounding in Christianity, and I didn't agree, I didn't believe it, because you've got to believe it. So our very natures in whatever conspiracy world, you can't believe shit. So I smell a rat, I'm afraid.
You don't have to be schooled in a particular subject or to have gone to a particular institution to be allowed to ask questions about it, though.
Yeah.
And if the questions stand up to scrutiny anyway, why is it a problem? Mm. You know, if you say to a religious person, can you explain to me this shortcoming or this apparent shortcoming in your religious teachings? I don't understand how this works. If there's a genuine, valid answer to it and it all stacks up, they should be able to come back to you and say, well, let me explain it to you. You know, this is what you're not quite grasping, but you don't get that. You just get people getting triggered. Yeah. Getting upset with you and saying you can't ask that.
Well, you've got to have faith, Mike. You've got to have faith, blind faith, basically. Mm. But the thing is, one thing I believe in, I believe there's a creator. We're created by something, designed.
God.
And you know, everything's designed and created.
That's what somebody said, Chris. If you remember, it's not belief; it's faith you've got to have. I'm thinking,
well, it is
same fucking thing.
Well, it's like having
similar
faith
anyway.
It's like having faith in the jibber jab, isn't it? It's got to be blind. You can't question it. You just got to close your eyes and hope for the best. And
you may well be blind as well.
Yeah. And close your eyes.
your religious version is the best one. It is amazing how they've hoodwinked people into just. But I had some were they Mormons? Two young lasses came to our door. My missus actually took a picture. Took a picture from the top of the stairs because I started chatting to them, and my missus was pissing herself because I was going, "Have you ever heard of this?" And then they're going, "No." And I got them. I said, "Have a look at the Snake's Head Pope's auditorium in the Catholic Church. Have you ever seen that?" No. Have a look at it. Google it. Put it in your phone. they were trying to get away from me.
They won't be coming back to your house.
They came back actually, Matt. They came back and asked me some more stuff, and then I never saw them again.
All right.
Is there no burning torches outside your house with hordes of Christians? Or Mark?
What, my house? Yeah. There's a few pitchforks and cricket bats out there. Yeah, every time I go out. Yeah, I do seem to have upset a few people. It's not as bad as it was in the early days. I had hordes of offended Christians the first couple of videos that I did, but I think they've kind of gone elsewhere now for their entertainment.
Yeah,
but again, it's like the jibber jab. If you're against it, they're very zealous about it. If you talk to people who had it, they're very angry with you for not having it. Like religion, you know, they're angry if you don't believe what they believe. It's odd, isn't it? We don't get angry with any of them. We don't get angry with religious people or with people who took the jibber jab.
It would be another thing if I was making protestations and saying spirituality is this way, theology is this way. I've got all the answers. At no point have I ever claimed to have any of the answers. Mm. I've got the questions, and I'm asking the questions. It's the questions that offend people. It's not any other kind of protestation. It's just asking the question. Apparently, you're not allowed to ask questions about anything.
Yeah. No, and I've never heard you say anything that you would consider blasphemous or against any religion at all, actually.
Yeah, but you've got a big shield mic.
I have. Yeah. I've got a big shield mic stand now.
But it's right, Chris. You don't have to ask things that are really upsetting, do you? Can you prove there's a God? Well, yeah, you've got to believe in it. Well, that's not really proof, is it? You know? Anyway, before we get hordes of Christians outside our houses, should we move on?
The only thing you can really prove is that there is existence from the fact that here we are. We exist.
Yeah.
So and like something, I said, some force or some creative power brought all this into being, whatever it may be. Call it God, call it what you will. We can be sure of that. That's an evidence-based conclusion.
Yeah.
But as to what nature that force takes, that's where the mystery begins.
Yeah. Like I said, there's a design process there, isn't there? I think they were all designed to work within itself in this system, if you like. Possibly except humans, but... Whoever made that is just beyond, you know, whether it's a computer program or whatever the hell is.
That's the absurdity of the thing, because if you claim that it was a computer program, this is some sort of AI simulation, which I actually lean towards myself, then who or what created the program? And then who or what created whatever created the program? It's enough to drive you insane just thinking about it.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick said that back in the 70s, didn't he? There's that famous bit of footage where he's in the conference and says, really seriously, like sits there and says, "I've now come to the conclusion that the whole thing's a simulation." And that everyone just goes silent. So it's not a new theory,
time,
is it?
Wasn't he?
Yeah, well, of his time. Yeah, yeah. He also wrote the book, The Man in the High Castle, where the Germans won the Second World War. I mean, you could actually say
they did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The same force, at least.
And that was another thing I mentioned to them guys who were talking to me yesterday, that Wernher von Braun, they didn't even know that Wernher von Braun, who run, obviously, NASA, was an actual Nazi. So Middle England probably doesn't even know that Wernher von Braun, where he came from, and he was part of Operation Pit. So this is... what us guys take as just a question, they take as either offensive or really, they don't even know that these people are part of that club. To us three, who email each other and go on talks and write books like you do, Mark, it's just normal shit to us. you know.
Well, it's a fact that he was, and then it's the next questions after that, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Yes. But, yeah. But well, and the next questions after that is, well, hang on a minute. If he were a Nazi, how does that work?
What's he doing in America making rockets?
What's he doing running America's multi-billion-dollar falsification landed on moon?
Hanging out with
no Dom. They didn't know that about him. It's like, you know, the Queen knighted all these paedophiles, but she didn't know.
No.
It was just MI5 and MI6 let her down. The intel failed time after 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 time. She didn't know.
No, no.
She was so embarrassed when she found out. Oh, she felt terrible.
One of the interesting knighthoods are these honorary knighthoods that I found a page on. How many people have been given, like Henry Kissinger, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all these people, all even Bill Gates, all psychos, all these people who are in the mainstream have actually been knighted. And people like Rupert Murdoch have been knighted by the Pope.
What could possibly go wrong?
He's a bit.
What can the reasoning be behind it, though?
I don't know, Chris. satanic, innit, obviously. But
No, I mean, but you know what I mean. How do they even explain that away?
Well, they do it. Say it's for charity, or you know, he's been knighted for charity, or Dame Melinda Gates knighted for saving children in Africa. Right. Bono's been knighted. He's got a knighted as well.
Do you think they're actually getting knighted for murder? For like nefarious, obviously. Well, obviously they are.
They're getting rewarded for services rendered.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other explanation, Chris, can you?
No.
Because
exactly. Same with dames. You mentioned dames there. I see Dame Esther Rancid was in the headlines this week. She's saying she's celebrating Christmas early in case she doesn't make it.
Right.
You've been saying that for a year or two now,
haven't you? Will... Do you think she'll still be here in January?
Do you remember when that bill passed, the what is it, the maid bill thing, not maid, whatever it's calling it, and she said I think they've come out with a drug, I think I'm gonna be all right.
Yeah,
you think she'll make a full recovery?
Yeah, wouldn't surprise you, would it? again, like David Attenborough's dad, who was his father was, he started up the first euthanasia charity. And then David Attenborough's talking for less people on earth.
At 99 years of age.
Yeah. You say this to people, though. All of these things, like I'm just saying, it's like 10 a penny to most people listening or whatever. You know, you could reel all these hundreds of different things off Jim Morrison's dad's Nan Murrell and blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, what? Nobody knows that. And to me, that's
when they find out, they view it in isolation, they view it as curiosity.
Yes.
Oh, Jim Morrison's dad was a Navy admiral that was involved in the Gulf of Tonkin. Oh, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Oh, well. And then they'll hear Bob Marley's dad was a British naval officer who ran a slave plantation in Jamaica. Oh, how strange. Oh, well. And then don't join the dots and see the patterns and ask themselves, well, hang on a minute. Why does this keep happening? Why do all these paedophiles keep getting knighted?
That's a big thread through the book I'm writing. I know it's stuff that you've written about and people have done podcasts on. But there's several threads that I weren't actually expecting to see. One of them that is most of these people, Michael Gove and people like that, went to schools where they had known paedophiles that had been arrested, whatever, decades after they'd been to school. But they were there at exactly the same time as these people like Blair and Johnson. I think Johnson, you say, got hit by a cricket bat every day. Or a golf stick. He's written it in a blog. He said it was so violently hated it. That isn't somebody enjoying school life, is it?
And I think you make the point in your book, because you showed me an excerpt, that Johnson, when he got to be PM, and even prior to that as Mayor of London, was in the perfect position to seek to get these institutions shut down based on first-hand evidence of what goes on there. But he didn't.
No.
And none of them ever do.
Or at least open it up for an inquiry.
They just send their own kids there instead.
Oh, yeah. Also, though, there was actually... What I found strange was that while Johnson was coming into power, there was an actual... It was the independent child abuse inquiry or something like that. Anyways, it was an ongoing agency... what would you call it? Review of all these schools and the abuse in them. And one of them was Johnson's school, Ashdown House. This was while he was been voted, you know, it was while he was in power through the 2020 nonsense, this inquiry was going on. And he never mentioned it in anything. And two of his teachers got arrested.
They never mentioned it. I've never any of them mention it.
No. And Tony Blair. Tony Blair, exactly the same thing. You know, Margaret Hodge, she was, she's now a dame as well, obviously. She was part of Islington Council, who had, I think it was a dozen children's homes under her, while she was the leader of Islington Council. And there was all these things going on. And she just said that the kids were making it up, basically. And she was putting, she was part of the cabinet, and she was putting, it was the children's, anyway, looking after children, basically, in Tony Blair's cabinet. How's that fucking work?
Well, which is always a flip of what they're talking about, isn't it? Looking after, aka, like Esther Hanson with the Childline thing. People reckon that. I tell you what I saw today, and I've never seen this before. It was in America, a thing, right, called a baby box, right?
Right.
So if you want to get, if you have a child and you know, you can't cope with it, it was literally a box mounted like those old safes that they had in the banks. Pull down this shutter, put the baby in, shut it up, and walk away.
Fucking
and they said the longest, a bit, I couldn't believe this was real. The longest a baby's been in there is 20 minutes. Someone comes and picks it up. First question would
when
be,
when is this supposed to have happened?
It's in America.
Yeah, but when? Like modern now. Day?
Sorry? Yeah, now. Yeah, now. Yeah. It's called a baby box. I'm starting to think maybe it was AI now saying it. Cat, nobody
on
wanted it.
April the 1st when you saw it.
I want to double check it. I should have checked it before I said that. But yeah, I saw it on a video. You can't believe anything. Well, that's another point. You cannot believe anything you see anymore, can you? Is it getting to a point where, I mean, I have an Instagram for sheep farming for my gaping gobs, but it's getting to a point now, I don't even want to open a video up because you don't know what nonsense it's going to be. And there's going to be a point where I won't look at any anymore because there's just no point. Because you just don't know what you're looking at, do you?
Mm. All part of the plan.
Yeah.
We've been coerced towards doing everything online now to the point that other ways of life have suffered, like nobody really watches TV anymore. And people don't go to the cinema anymore. They just watch Netflix. But there's obvious perils to doing everything online and running your entire life off of websites.
Yeah. Do you want the good news or the bad news, Matt?
Oh, always the bad one, me.
It does exist. There is baby boxes. It's in BBC as well now. Bloody hell. Drop off baby boxes. Can they help save lives in the US? There's a picture of this woman sitting next to it. There's a picture of the box as well. Oh, God. Woman shares a safe haven baby box. Bloody hell. Yeah, no, it is real.
Oh,
I mean, that's up there with suicide boobs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say to that, Chris.
By Esther Winsett.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what to say to that either. I was looking at the, what is it? I was watching some on the MAID thing in Canada, which are now brought over here. And now it's one of the leading causes of deaths in Canada, is dying by that MAID system. Worry, between 2016 and 2024, 90,000 people went through it. And it's more towards the later years, by the way.
Yeah, but it used to be if you had sort of like got 2 weeks to live.
Giving it to kids now, fact. Now they're offering it to kids.
Now you've clipped your toenail a bit too far down. All of a sudden, well, we could put you through this euthanasia MAID.
5% cause of all deaths in 2024 in Canada.
I'm laughing, but
yeah, but that, we've now joined that bandwagon. What, 5 or 6 years later? I don't know when they're starting.
Joe Cox's sister, if she's a sister,
Leadbeater,
Leadbeater as well. She's called MP Labour MP at Leadbeater brought that euthanasia act. It's Joe Cox's sister.
I'm not going to trust someone who were laughing when the sister died.
No.
Mind you, saying that.
Did she actually die?
No, joking about you. Say that.
Yeah.
Yep, baby boxes are real. Sorry.
Yeah, I had to look that up. Baroness Margaret Hodge, her maiden name was Oppenheimer, and she was Minister for Children under the Blair government. And she, anyway, insane, yeah. How these people get jobs. She was on the Reigns list as well. Margaret Hodge.
Well, it's like Blair being the what is it, peace envoy in Middle East, isn't it? It's a piss tick, isn't it?
Make it up.
It's a satanic piss tick, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. What were we talking about the other day? The DJ, Chris, who did Amy Winehouse's music, Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
And he's another one. Mark Ronson.
Aronson.
Matt Aronson changed his name, didn't he?
Yeah, changed the name from Aronson to Ronson to sound less Jewish.
Yeah. All right. I was asking Dom to look at, do you remember, you know, the author John Ronson? I was wondering if they were related in any way.
Could well be.
He's quite an influential writer.
Well, listen to this, what he said. He said, I met Mark Ronson. This is what John Ronson said.
All right.
He's the only Ronson I've ever met that isn't related to me.
Or is he?
Yeah.
Why'd you have to say
Why would he actually say that?
They're related to Leon Britton.
That's correct,
the Ronson family.
Right. Yeah.
And I can remember when I was on the DJ circuit like 20-odd years ago, and I was travelling around and I was wanting to be much bigger as a DJ than I ever was. And this guy, Mark Ronson, just popped up out of nowhere, literally, overnight. And he was playing all these celebrity parties for Jay-Z and Puff Daddy and people like this. And me and my other DJ friends were like, who the fuck is he? Where's he come from? How's he getting all these big gigs? Because back then, I actually wanted to do celebrity parties for Jay-Z and stuff because I didn't know him, as I know now. Yeah. Worst bloody nightmare now. But we were like, who's this Mark Ronson? Have you heard of him? No, I've never heard of him. Why is he getting all these gigs? And of course, now I know how the game works. But back then, I didn't.
That was probably one of your little tinkle bells just on your journey through life back.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, the interesting thing is his uncle, well, they own a massive property empire, you know, Chris. I don't know if you know that. The Ronson family own a massive, it was worth a couple of billion. It was actually bailed out. I think Gates bailed them out a few. Yeah. Honestly, you can't make this shit up. And he got arrested. And Gerald Ronson got jailed for fraud in the Guinness share affair. Right. So with the Guinness family, he got jailed for 9 months or something like that. And then roll on a few years ago, got knighted on his wife's a dame as well.
But even on my, I want a DJ obviously, but even I remember thinking, where's that guy come from at the time? Do you know? Just came out of nowhere and we were on it everywhere.
It's similar to Russell Brand. When I think back, Russell Brand just popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And the first I ever heard of Russell Brand is when he appeared on Tim Westwood's Radio 1 show.
Ooh.
I mean, what's Russell Brand got to do with rap and hip-hop music anyway?
Yeah.
But now, of course, I know what those two were doing hanging out together because they got shared interests.
Yeah.
But Tim Westwood was promoting Russell Brand. And I thought, who's this twat? Where's he come from? And then, of course, he's all over TV and his career just took off overnight. And we're really supposed to believe that it's an organic thing and, you know, it's gradual and he worked his way up. I didn't realise.
He was funded into, he was given a scholarship to by the local council to this talent school, was Russell Brand.
It's funny because you see it in films as well where, because I still follow films, even though obviously with different eyes now, but you see these certain actors or actresses that are constantly promoted, constantly in films that don't make it and they fail, but then they're re-promoted again. Who is it? What's that guy called? Is it some Leto? Jay Leto, is it?
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto. He's actually got a cult in the, literally a known cult in Laurel Canyon.
Is it?
Yeah, in the old, what is it based where they used to do
Lookout
the
Mountain. Jared Leto bought
that's right.
Lookout Mountain, which was the covert military base in Laurel Canyon.
So he's got a cult there, and it's a note, you know, loads of people turn up, et cetera, in Laurel Canyon, like Mark says, when he bought it. But if you watch his films that he's brought out, they constantly are unsuccessful, but he's constantly putting another blockbuster, another blockbuster, another blockbuster. It's very bizarre. I do watch them things.
I think Mark mentioned that at the beginning, didn't he? These stars, what's it take to be one of these people to be shoved into the limelight? For instance, Kate Moss, right, could do any amount of drugs she wanted, right? And then someone else would do a little bit and get caught and be thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
But Kate Moss,
sold as that heroin chic. She was literally selling that in the 90s, wasn't she? Mm. Mm.
Neil McCampbell's another one of these people, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then you got Brian Harvey, did a couple of pills and he's kicked out of his band.
Yeah.
Not that I were an E17 fan, but I always found that a bit strange. You've got Robbie Williams, who obviously took every drug under the sun by the looks of him, and Liam Gallagher, but yet they're elevated into this pop idol type stardom.
Well, they were in the club and Brian wasn't.
It would seem so.
He definitely wasn't. And then some of them think they're in the club and then just get death by bath. Bathtub.
Bathtubbed off, yeah.
Tugged off.
I will grow old, then I will die. I'll be a part of the oceans and sky. When I was young, before my life, I was a part of the ocean.